Good morning. Children are dismissed to Kingdom Kids. And this morning's scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Those are so cute up there. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far and above more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his magnificence, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles wish and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them. But seek first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things being taken together will be given to you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble.
My mic was not working. Usually I think you can hear me okay. But the trouble is they can't hear me online. And so that's a problem. So let me shut this off. Oh, it was never on. And no worries. All right, I'll use this. All right. About 20 years ago or more, there was this little flyer going around, and maybe some of you have read it. And it said this, exactly what it said. It said, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish, and I am really happy about that. But God, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And then from then on, I'll probably need a lot of help. Well, I think that a lot of us need help in regard to this morning's topic, how to live a worry-free life. Now, to some of you who probably wouldn't like to admit it, that may sound nearly impossible. However, I do believe that all of us here in this room, all of us watching online, that we can go a long way to reducing the amount of worry we carry around. Because let's just put the fact out there, okay? We all worry. Some of you worry over big things. Some of you worry over little things. Some of you worry all the time, and some of you worry occasionally. But I would dare say that all of us worry from time to time. Now, I know that worry certainly can be relative to what's going on in our life. However, it's not the easiest thing to just stop worrying, is it? Look at what it says behind me. That saying's been around forever. Don't worry, be happy. Let me tell you this. Many of you can relate to this. When you are worrying, and someone would say that to you, you just want to throw up in your mouth. Because it's not that easy. That's a very casual, maybe flippant statement. But if you are worrying and you are a person who worries, that is impossible, what that says. Just don't worry, be happy. Really? You don't think I want to be happy? You don't think I would choose to be happy? Of course I choose to be happy, but I cannot stop worrying. You know, it may be easy to acknowledge that all of us need to worry less, but it's a hard thing to accomplish. And I hope this morning to help you with that. I want to tell you the story that's told by a comedian, and I want to relate this to worry. He talks about the idea that he found out in his life that the one thing that you can't get a trash man to throw away is a garbage can. He said, this is what happened to him. He said, I'm telling you a literal story, what happened to me. He says, I put out an old, beat up, rusted trash can with all my other trash cans on trash day. I figured they would just throw it away. So I came home from work, and there it was, stacked up with the rest of my trash cans. He says, so the next week, I decided, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll put it out, and I'll turn it upside down, and the trash man could see all the holes in the bottom of it, and he'll certainly throw it away. He says, so I did that. I came home from work. He said, there it was, stacked up with all my good trash cans. He said, I was getting a little frustrated, so I said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to take a sledgehammer to this thing, and I'm going to pummel this thing. And so he took a sledgehammer to it and pummeled it and put it out with the trash. He said, okay, they're going to get rid of it now. Nope. He says, when I came home, I could not believe that there that trash can was stacked up with my other trash cans. And he said, and the garbage man had tried to pound it back into shape. He said, it was crazy. He says, so I did the only thing I could do. I went to the hardware store. I bought a heavy chain link with a padlock, and I padlocked that trash can to a tree in my front yard. He said, sure enough, when I got up in the morning, someone had stole it. Now, I can tell you that worry is kind of a lot like that trash can. And when we know we need to get rid of it, but it's not so simple to accomplish. Think about this. When we worry, when we're upset over our latest setback, when we receive news that our job is going to be going away, or our child is sick, or the bank forecloses on us, or our spouse goes away, who is the person that often gets blamed for those things? I think you know the person, right? It's God. The only person who can take away the worry, the only person who can take away the pain, is often the person who gets blamed in those situations. I want to say this right at the beginning here, friends. I want to make a very clear distinction between worry and concern, because they're very, very different. According to God, concern is fine. Concern is natural. Concern is okay. Okay? Worry's not. Concern basically says this. I have an issue, and I know that God and I can get through it. That's basically what concern says. That's okay. Worry basically says this. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. What if this happens? What if that happens? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I just don't know. Worry is one of the enemy of our soul's greatest weapons. It will steal your joy. It will rob your passion, your commitment, and your happiness. And we can become so wrapped up in our worry about yesterday or our worry about tomorrow that we are never at peace today. And what is ridiculous about that is that many people worry about things that are never going to happen. I've seen this throughout my entire life. It's like the patient in a psychiatric hospital. And he has his ear to the wall, and he's listening to the wall. And a nurse comes over to him and says, "What are you listening to?" And all the patient does is snap his head towards the nurse, "Shh." He goes back to listening to the wall. He listens for another hour or two, and finally he calls the nurse over and says, "Hey, listen, listen." She puts her ear against the wall. She listens for a minute or two. And she turns to him and says, "I don't hear a thing." And he says, "I know, it's been like that all day." It's worry. I wanted to give you an example of what worry is like, and I think I came up with a pretty good one that you can all relate to. And this is how worry relates to our spiritual lives and to our physical lives. Worry is this. It's like getting in your car, turning your car on, putting your car in neutral, and then flooring the accelerator. You're burning oil, you're burning gas, and you're going nowhere. That's kind of what worry, we'll talk about this a little later on in the sermon, what worry does to us as human beings. You know, we burn oil, we burn gas, and we go nowhere. And by the way, doing that's very hard on the engine as well. Worries like that. So I have three parts to this sermon. I want to first talk about why is the Bible so strong against worry? Secondly, I want to talk about what causes worry in our lives. And third, I want to give you suggestions on how to live a worry-free life. All right? So today, I want to look at what are some reasons that the Bible is so strong against worry. You heard Beth read. She said it. These are the words of Jesus. Okay, not that I would say Jesus' words are more important than other words in the Bible. But for me, this is something special when Jesus says this, I pay attention. Do not worry about your life. Don't do it. That's a pretty strong admonition. That borders on command. Why? Let me tell you why the Bible is so strong against worry. First, worry exhibits a lack of trust in God. How else can I say it except what's on the screen? When we completely trust God, friends, we do not worry. And when we worry, we do not completely trust God. Some of you don't like that statement. Some of you may be saying online or here, "Well, that's a pretty harsh thing to say, that if I worry, I'm not trusting God." Well, that's true. By the way, it says not completely trusting God, so I can be clear, okay? Because if you completely trust the God, I'll tell you right now, you would not worry ever. Do you think Jesus worried one time in his life? Do you think Jesus ever worried about anything? Not had concern for, but do you think Jesus ever worried about anything? The answer I can tell you is absolutely not. Jesus didn't worry about anything, ever. And I can tell you, neither do we have to, but listen, I'm a human being. It's not that easy, okay? That's why I'm going to have all these reasons I want to teach you and then tell you how not to worry, because it's not that easy. But that statement is true. So if you are worrying about everything in your life, I would challenge you to go to God and first repent for not trusting God. Because when we worry, we're basically saying this: God, I have a problem, and you can't help me through it. That's basically what we're saying in a nutshell. Why else does the Bible speak so heavily against worry? Well, because worry damages our health. I think that you know that a great percentage of illnesses in the United States are related to worry, anxiety, and stress. You know the number one killer in America is, right? It's heart disease. Number one, 38% of all people who die in America is directly related to heart disease. And many of those problems are related to hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. Listen to what the Bible says about this in Job 5:2. To worry yourself to death would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. It seems pretty clear to me, doesn't it? But how many people do that today in America? How many people? Another reason the Bible speaks so heavily against worry is because worry hinders your witness. Titus 2:10 says this, in every way, they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. Do you think when you worry, you are making your faith about God attractive? When you worry and continue to worry, and worry consumes you, I can tell you, you're going to miss opportunity that God gives you to share your faith. Or, worse than that, what you're going to do is you are going to witness negatively because of your lack of faith. Think about it. What kind of faith does it reveal to your family member, your coworker, your neighbor, when you're so worried about every little detail in life? What are you saying to that neighbor, coworker, family member? You're saying, well, I have all these problems, and I don't believe God can handle them with me. I don't believe God can help me. What are you saying? What kind of witness is that about the power of Jesus Christ, about the power of the Holy Spirit? What kind of witness is that when we worry? Terrible witness, that's what it is. Okay, let's look at the causes of worry. What is it in our life, in the life of Americans, that causes us to worry? Well, I'm going to give you some very general things, because of course, there are very specific things that can happen to you individually that can cause you to worry. So I'm looking at the general things. First, in America in particular, one of the reasons is the affluence of our age. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes. The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man provides him no rest. What we've done in America is we've taken this verse and we've completely turned it around philosophically, and we've incorporated the exact opposite mindset into our culture. Because in our culture, we think the more we have, the more security there is. And you know what I tell you? Not a chance. No. The more you have to worry about. Let me give you an example of this. Very simple, small. You get a brand new car. You drive it off the lot. It's all shiny and new. You go to a busy mall. What do? You look to park it away from everybody else, don't you? You want to park it at the end so no one can put a door ding on your new car. Now, you just turned in your 20-year-old car to the dealer. Did you care at the mall the week before when you went, where you parked? No, you got the first spot you could, the closest to the door, and you didn't care about that 20-year-old car, did you? No, you now worry about your new car. Or you have a brand new outfit, beautiful outfit, and you get a little stain on it. You're worried. Would you worry about the clothes that you put on to go clean out your garage, your old clothes? Of course not, you wouldn't worry. More things for Americans means more to worry about. We don't even think about this. It doesn't even cross our minds. But having more does not bring us peace and security. I challenge you that having more brings us more to worry about. I'm going to tell you a stupid illustration that I've used before. It's corny, it's stupid, but it kind of makes my point. It's about a guy, you've heard this, in the car accident. And he's wandering around in circles at the accident scene. The police have not arrived yet. And he's wandering around, and he's kind of half out of it, and he's mumbling to himself. And when the police comes up, they can hear him mumbling, oh, my BMW, what did I do to my BMW, my BMW? And the police officer comes up to him and says, hey, buddy, you got a bigger problem than that. Your left arm has been cut off. And he says, oh, my Rolex, where's my Rolex? I know that sounds stupid, right? But I tell you that for Americans, that's not too far off. It's not too far off. Again, the whole story about the new car, almost all of you can relate to that. If you've ever bought a new car, you can relate to what I said. You're going to park that new car. You don't care if you've got to walk a quarter of a mile to the mall. You're going to park in that last spot where no one's going to touch your car because you worry about it. I know it's a little tiny thing to mention, but that's who we are as Americans. And that's one of the things that causes us stress as Americans. The more we have, the more we have to worry about. Things and possessions can cause us to worry. Now, here's another thing that can cause us to worry. The media in our country. Now, it doesn't matter what you listen to, whether it's CNN or Headline News or Fox, etc. When you turn on the media, you hear everything in the media is brought to us from a negative perspective. Now, I know if you turn on the news today, you're going to hear all about Ukraine. But let's say it was a couple of weeks ago, before Ukraine happened. What are you going to hear when you turn on the news? Basically the same thing. You'll hear of wars, you'll hear of bombings, juvenile crime, political corruption, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is supplied from a negative viewpoint. And again, we don't think about this. It just kind of builds on us. Let me give you a great example. The weather. Do you know the weather is given to you from a negative perspective all the time? For example, let's say tomorrow there's a very slight chance of rain. The weatherman will say something like this. Tomorrow there's a 10% chance of rain. You guys understand that, right? Let me ask you a question you probably never thought of. Why doesn't the weatherman say tomorrow there's a 90% chance of sunshine? Because that'd be looking at it from a positive perspective. Even the weather comes at us from a negative perspective. Everything the media does is from a negative perspective. And there's a reason for that, by the way. There is a reason. Because the media needs to make money. I don't begrudge them for that. They need to make money. And negativity sells. So that's why they don't say there's a 90% chance of sunshine. Even the weatherman comes at it from a negative perspective. We don't even think about it. It just goes in one ear, out the other. But all we're getting is negative, negative, negative. And over time, that gets into your spirit and it starts to impact you. Okay, just like the affluence of our age. We don't think about it, but it gets in there and starts to affect you. A third cause of worry is simply this, life experience. That can cause worry. I think the older you get, it seems to me the more you seem to have to worry about. I see it in the lives around me. I see it in my own life. You know, as your kids get older, you worry, are they going to get into college? Then they get into college, you worry, are they going to graduate? And then your kids don't date, and you worry, why aren't they dating? And then they do date, and you worry, oh, I hope this goes well. Or then they're 25 years old or 30 years old, they haven't got married. You say, why haven't they got married? Then they get married and you're worried about their marriage. Irma Bombach wrote this, to be a parent is to worry, end quote. But it's not just parenting. We have things like this. Well, you know, I can't afford to go on vacation. But if I don't go on vacation, I'm going to be stressed out. And, you know, if my husband or wife doesn't lose their job, doesn't leave that job, they'll never get ahead. But if they do leave that job, we're going to be unstable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it seems to me that life experience, particularly as we get older, causes worry. Not on purpose. It's just what life is. One more cause for worry, in particular for here in America, and especially here north of Boston, is the pace of our life. Everything, we don't even realize this, everything is so fast where we live. You don't even realize this till you go to another country or do you go somewhere else where they're not living at the pace you're living at. Go to Europe. For those of you who've been to Europe, you know this. Go and sit down at a restaurant in Europe. You could either be at 2, 3, 4 hours. They don't care. Literally, the waiters aren't coming over every 10 minutes. Are you okay? Do you need anything? No. It's a completely different pace of life. You go to a restaurant here, And the moment you have the last bite, they're coming over and saying, do you want dessert? Nope. Okay, here's the bill. They want you out of there because they want the next client to sit down there. The pace of life in America, but in particular, East Coast, north of Boston, is crazy. But we live here. So you probably aren't affected. You know who are affected? Have people from other countries come and move to Beverly. They think we're crazy. Like, how do you do this? This is bizarre. I can't live like this. Well, they're not used to it. Now it really affects them. It doesn't affect us so much because it's kind of, we're inoculated from this in one sense. But in another sense, we're really not. Because, see, I don't think God created our nervous systems to live at this pace all the time. You know, I heard about a golfer who was having a terrible day. He hit a shot, he sliced it into the bushes. He hit it out of the bushes, and he hit it into a sand trap. He hit it out of the sand trap across the street onto an open field. He went to the open field and hit the ball back across to the golf course and hit it in the woods. And then he goes to look for the ball in the woods, and his friend who's playing with him finally looks at him and says, what's wrong with you? Leave that ball there. And he looks at him and says, I can't. It's my lucky ball. Yeah. Friends, we need more than luck when it comes to figuring out this problem of worry. John 14:1 says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Can you say your heart is never troubled? I can't. You don't have to be guilty like, yeah, sometimes it is. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Can you say you were never anxious about anything? Friends, we need answers. And here's the important part of the sermon for those of you who worry. Because I'm going to give you a formula how to get rid of worry. Now, I have to talk in general terms because I don't know, maybe you're worried because you have cancer. That's a very specific personal thing. I can't talk about that in my formula because my formula would have to be 1,000 points long. So I'm going to give you several reasons, several tools to stop worrying or to greatly reduce the worry in your life. God does not want you to worry. All right? The first one is simple. The first one is simply slow down. In this pastor's opinion, there's a direct correlation between hurry and worry. I think that they are intertwined with each other. Hurry, 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 and worry. And maybe one of the reasons we worry so much is simply we're part of a society that is so much in a hurry. I want to tell you a story that's going to sound like I made it up. It's going to sound like, come on, can that really be true? The answer is yes. It's not that long ago. It was like 18 years ago. What I'm going to tell you happened in the city of Chicago. You can look it up. Because it's so ridiculous, it sounds like it can't be true. No one can be that stupid. Well, this is true. In Chicago, a number of years ago, they were having a problem with their buses. And the people were complaining that buses were traveling right by people who were standing at bus stops and weren't stopping. This hit the front page of all the newspapers. It was all over Chicago's news. It was a big problem. So what happened was the Chicago Transit Authority decided to do a press release to talk to the public and answer all their reasons why this was happening and what's going on. And this press release has became kind of infamous. It's used in college campuses all over our country and public relation courses. They use this press release to give an example of how not to do it. All right, so I want to read from you from their press release. This is actually true from the Chicago Transit Authority, how they're explaining to the whole city what's going on. Quote, it is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we are always having to stop and pick up passengers. I, I don't know how many hands this had to go through, or eyes this had to go through in the transit authority to be released to the newspapers. This was their official statement. So someone wrote it, someone else approved it, someone else above them approved it, and someone else above them approved it. This is their answer to why buses are not picking up people. It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we're always having to stop and pick up passengers. And I'm thinking, well, what is the whole purpose of the buses? You know, it's to stop and pick up passengers. But we can't do our job if we do that. You understand, right? John Oldberg points out in his article, Taking Care of Business, because the point here is when you get in a hurry, you can lose the main thing. When you get so crazy and so much in a hurry, you can focus on not the main thing. For us as Christians, we all know what the main thing is. The main thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ, our worship of Christ, of letting the Holy Spirit transform us more into the image of Christ. That's the main thing. But when you get in a hurry, you can lose that focus. Listen to what John Ortberg says in this article. He says, quote, "For most of us, the greatest danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it," end quote. Amen. He's right. This hurry, 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 friends, is a problem. We need to slow down and remember the promises of God. We need to slow down and reflect on what God has said. We need to slow down and remember that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. We need to remember that all things work together for good of those who love God. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory of what's going to be revealed. That God created the heavens and the earth. That in my Father's house are many mansions. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, first part of this formula to reduce worry is slow down. I challenge you, if you only do this one thing, if you only carry out one of these four and you do this, you'll find worry, you'll be relieved of some of your worry. Maybe not all of it, but your worry will be a lot less. All right? The second part of this formula is this. Live one day at a time. In other words, don't borrow tomorrow's worries today. Worry basically is experiencing a crisis before it happens. We spend a great deal of time fretting over our future that we can do nothing about. I came across an interesting article, it was several years back. It was a long-term study, a 30-year study of 4,000 men. And this is what they found. They found that of the 4,000 men in the study, 45 had died of a sudden heart attack on Monday, and only 15 died of a sudden heart attack on Friday. These are all men with no history of any heart disease, and the report says for some reason Monday was in particular very dangerous for the men. Friends, is that hard to figure out why Monday was much more problematic than Friday? Because on Monday, they're worrying about everything they have to do that week. They're worrying about all the things that haven't happened yet. They're worrying about all the possibilities that can happen. And then on Friday, oh, it's Friday. This week wasn't so bad. I made it through. I got a couple days off. Do you see? That wasn't the purpose of this research they did, but it seems to me to so clearly fit what I'm talking about. Okay, worry. Like I said, revving that engine, revving it up, that's not good on the engine. That's going to cause wear and tear. That's just not a good thing to do, put your car in neutral and just start flooring it. It's not good. Worry can do that to us, okay? I think there's a very good lesson in that study that wasn't intended to necessarily teach this lesson. We need to stop borrowing tomorrow's worries today. All right? The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow at all. Well, you can't control it. It actually says don't worry about today too. Okay? Okay, what's another way? What's another piece of this formula? It's keep a long-term perspective. Jesus said focus on heaven and seek his kingdom first. Develop an eternal perspective. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say all of you here, for some reason, everyone in Living Hope decides we need to redecorate our house, we need to repaint it, we need to kind of make it all look good. What happened today if you were sitting here and you knew your house was going to burn down tomorrow? How much time would you think of decorating your house? How much time would you think of what color to paint it? How much would you struggle about that? I know the answer. Zero. Zero. Friends, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, the things that a lot of us worry about are not going to make a bit of difference about anything, either in your life or in the life of anyone else that you love. So slow down. Don't borrow tomorrow's worries. Keep a long-term perspective. Here's another very important key to overcoming worry, and that is simply this. Remember God's faithfulness. Learn to trust the providence of God. You know, birds trust God to supply their needs. However, God does not come along and drop worms in their mouth, does he? Of course not. Trusting God doesn't mean you're lazy or you're indifferent. It doesn't mean you just lay in bed every day and say, God, pay my mortgage, God, pay my rent, God, give me food in my refrigerator, God, pay my electric bill. It doesn't mean that at all. Okay, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, okay? Because God works in conjunction with us. By worrying, when you're worrying that God won't provide your needs and you're doing everything you should do, what are you doing? You're calling God a liar, okay? That's what you're doing. That used to be the screensaver of my computer. Every day I turn my computer on, I used to say that, good morning, this is God. I'll be handling all of your problems today. I will not need your help. Have a good day. I don't know what happened to that screensaver. I haven't had it for years. I don't know where it disappeared to. I'm sure I can still find it. That is the God that loves us. That is the God we serve. You know, by worrying, we're saying to God, listen, God, I know that you can keep the sun in orbit. I know you can sustain all life on earth. I know you can hear every prayer in the world at the same time as though it's only one person praying. And I know you've been in control in the past, but you can't take care of my problem today. When it's put like that, doesn't it sound ridiculous? Of course it does. What I just said was the truth. All right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And worry says, I don't believe God can do that. We need to cut out the worry business, okay? Because I know some people who worry about everything. Everything. And when I talk to them, I have to really tame my tongue. Really keep a rein on what I want to say. Because what they're doing is not trusting God. We got to cut out the worry business, friends. Said the robin to the sparrow. I would really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so much. Said the sparrow to the robin. I think it must be that God doesn't take care of them like he does us. Worry says, I don't believe God can handle this one. This one's above God's pay grade. This is too difficult for him. This morning I want to ask you to make a decision that you will give over one thing that you've really been worrying about. You give over that one thing to God. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning, that you would stop worrying about it, that you would trust God for his provision in it. Just one thing. Maybe some of you are worrying about 25 things. It may sound like no one would do that, but I know people who do that. So I'm just asking one. Pick one big one that's on your list of worries and say, God, I'm giving this one to you, and I am no longer going to worry about this. It's yours. Please handle this in any way that you would like to handle it. You know, friends, worry can sound like such a safe topic. I mean, you know, it's innocuous. It's worry, so what? We're all familiar with it. We all know it. You know, this is not some big egregious sin, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Worry is a problem. Worry is a problem in the lives of Christians. And God's not going to condemn you for that. Just so let me be clear. God knows your situation. He knows your personality. He knows all the gifts and everything that he's given you. He understands. He understands. But he says, child, don't you understand that worry is no good? I'll take care of it. Worry is going to hurt you. It's like harboring unforgiveness. Unforgiveness never hurts the other person that you're not forgiving. Never. It never hurts them. It only hurts you. Worry's kind of the same way. Worry's never going to fix that thing you're worrying about. It's not going to have any impact on that thing you're worrying about. It only hurts you. And God wants us to be free. God wants us to enjoy life this side of heaven, believe it or not. I know some Christians have told me, well, this is kind of hell, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. God doesn't say that your life here on earth is supposed to be hell. God says you're free. My children are free. Live their life. Enjoy their life. And worry will rob that from us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your word today. And I thank you, God, of the reminder that you really are in control. And Father, when we worry, we acknowledge, Father, that we are not trusting you. I pray, God, you would forgive us when we worry. I ask, God, that we could transform our worry into concern in some situations, trusting that together we can get through whatever it is that life would throw at us. So God, for those who are listening online, for those who are here this morning that have an issue in their life where worry has overtaken them and where worry comes into every avenue of their life, I give them to you, God, and I pray that they would experience your peace. As your word says, peace that passes all understanding. Father, I pray that we could experience that. And in doing that, God, that it will increase our witness to those you put into our lives. That they would see us living a worry-free life. Even with all the same problems that they have, that we're doing it without worry, that we're doing it with trust. Trust in our Lord and our Savior. So thank you, God, for your word today. God, I ask that you'd apply it to our hearts so we may not sin against you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.